you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter number 2. Book of Matthew, chapter number 2, and I'm going to read one verse here today. Matthew 2 and 11. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. It said, and when they were come into the house, this is talking about the wise men, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I'm probably not going to get into the gifts here that they're giving, like probably what you will in your Sunday school class, and I'm sure they'll go probably in a lot more depth into what I will hear this morning. But for the sake of time, I want to look at this scripture. This event did not just happen by chance. We hear about the star, and by the way, it's his star. We hear about they come from the east. We hear that they journeyed and we talk about how far that they come. We talk about the sages and how that they studied astronomy. They studied the stars and they was looking for a sign. But one of the things we often overlooked is they also studied the scrolls. They studied the Word. How did they know to bring something? You know, if we get ready to take a trip, which we're kind of homebodies, we don't travel very far or very often. But I could just imagine you getting ready to take a trip, and Brother Isaac, you looking at Desiree and say, "Honey, did you happen to pack the gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Are you with me? I mean, why did they bring these gifts? What was the purpose of bringing them? How did they know? I mean, these questions are rolling over in my mind, and there has to be an explanation. I mean, you just don't randomly say, "I'm getting ready to go to Branson, and be sure you got the gold and frankincense in the suitcase." Well, the first thing that I look at is it was prophecy. God had foreordained this 978 years prior to this occurrence. We know specifically, we can narrow it down to the exact year. 978 years prior to this, He said there will be kings coming from the east. You know, we sing that song, that old song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Well, preacher, did you figure out they was three kings from the song? No, the song figured out they was three kings from the scripture. Now, We look at the Bible, at the Messianic Psalms. You know, in Psalms 22 is another one of those Messianic Psalms. It talks about the crucifixion of Calvary. Before Christ ever came, it was prophesied of how He would be born, how He would live, and how He would die. But I want you to look at Psalms chapter 72, if you will. This is another messianic psalm that was given. And let's begin reading about verse number 1. It said, "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son." Now let's stop right there. This is a Song of Solomon. He's telling us to give thy king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. The king's son is a prince. Would you agree with me on that? And if the king is not present, the son has authority of the king. Okay, you're still with me. Okay, now let's go on just a little bit. And he shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. And the mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. And he shall judge the poor of the people, and he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. He has righteousness. He has judgment. He will break, has power over the oppressor. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He suffered on an old rugged cross, and they buried him 3 days in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose again. I think we can agree we're talking about Jesus. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one that God sent down to this earth, the Prince of Peace. Let's read on just a little bit. They shall, verse 5, they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Boy, I like it whenever he falls down like rain. We get in the presence of the Almighty God. And I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God falls into place. And I'll tell you, there's a holy hush that becomes over the crowd, the congregation. And you cannot just do anything but bask in the Spirit of God and worship Him. The Bible speaks of the latter rain. It says, in his days shall the righteous flourish, and the abundance of peace as long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. And they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. But I want you to look here at verse number 10. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The king of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all the kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. It was prophesied. Let me go back and read Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. And fell down and worshiped him, and when they had opened their treasures. How did they know to bring something? What possessed them to bring these gifts? They came not looking for a baby, but they came looking for a king. Now they expected the king to be a baby because it was prophesied that he was going to be born of a virgin. Well, you say, wait a minute, preacher, that's just one scripture. Y'all ask great questions. Let's look at the book of Isaiah. Yo, Isaiah was a prophet that prophesied. He was probably one of the best Old Testament gospel preachers that there ever was. He's the one that prophesied in Isaiah there, chapter number 14. He said that that therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 53 is the one that prophesied his death 750 years before the Christ came. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But Isaiah chapter 60, in verse number 6, the Bible says, and the multitudes of camels shall cover thee, and the dromedaries of Midian and Ephrah. We're talking about that same part of the world from the east. The dromedaries, that's just the one-hump camels is all that is. Don't let that word confuse you. They're a one-hump, short-haired camel. The other camels have two humps that are longer haired. They're more for the colder climate. So he specifically said, prophesied that they are going to come from this area. They're going to be riding camels. There's going to be kings. Now the Bible says that he doesn't tell us how many kings, but he tells us what nations are coming from. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't believe you can have two kings in one country. That just don't work. But now, I will agree with this. We have kings, but kings also have wise men. I always say in preaching, you don't have to be smart, you just got to know smart people. I believe that, this is my personal conviction, my personal beliefs, I believe that they had counselors that advised them on issues and topics. I don't believe the kings, and I don't have any Bible to back this up with specifically, but I don't believe that the kings stood out there at night gazing at the stars all the time. I believe that there were sages that advised the kings and said, hey, by the way, we've got a new star that is born. You better check this one out. You know, they tell me that there are stars that are created every day. New stars. But they're not his star. That was his star. You better go look and see. They came and they brought him gold. Why gold? There was a common law in the land that if you was to bring a gift to a king, when another king met another king, it was a requirement. Or we would say common courtesy, to bring the best you had, to bring gold. Gold was the gift that was most respected by the laity and by the king. You remember King Solomon, Scripture will back this up. He sat on a throne of ivory, coated with gold. Gold was, it is a heavy metal. It's almost twice the weight of lead. And when you polish it, it shines. The Bible says that when they entered the house, they fell down and began to worship. I don't know why at Christmas times we have to get so dignified. It seems like we're more reserved at this time of the year. the Lord seemed to speak to him, and he said, if any time that I wish someone would come and worship me, it's at Christmas. They come and they fell down and worshiped him and gave him their best. Can I get some hallelujah in the house anywhere this morning? I think we ought to come to church not to see what kind of suit we got on or what new clothes we have, but come to church to worship the King. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. What do we have to give him? The children sing that song, I have nothing fit for a king but a heartfelt hallelujah. When we come and worship the King, you know what the King said he would do? He said he would make us kings and priests. Well, preacher, where's all your gold at? I don't have any. I'll just be honest with you. Mine's over there. But I read in the Bible that one of these days, I'm going to walk on it. Gold is transparent that you can see through it. Pure gold. It'll never rust. It'll never corrode. It'll never, it won't decay. They can't take it away. The thieves can't steal it. I've got something to praise him for. I believe during this Christmas time, it is not so important that we celebrate the gifts that we give to each other. The clothes that we wear and the things that we buy and the money that we spend and all the hustle and bustle, as important as it is that we come and we worship. All he wants is the gold of our praise. The gold of our praise. I have nothing else fit for a king but a heartfelt hallelujah. Come back to the music if you will.